Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way? Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org. Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. I have victory over Satan. Glory to the King of Kings.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Luana is the president and founder of A Touch From Above. Her burden for America has caused her to dedicate 25 acres to build a place of prayer, Prayer Mountain in Ramona, California, where God's people come from all over the world and pray. It's exciting to see. We also have a university to equip God's people, a church, and this radio program, which reaches millions daily. Dr. Luana's conviction is to always preach the whole counsel of God. As she is ministering, the Holy Spirit is moving upon the hearts of the people to turn them back to Him. Together we can reach the world. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate you. Please contact us at touchfromabove.org, atouchfromabove.org. And now it's time to set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Luana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Luana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. Now, Dr. Luana Steins.
God bless you. 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 Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Dr. Luana, and this is A Touch From Above. Oh, my goodness. Right from our prayer mountain out of Ramona. Do you know where Ramona is? 35 minutes from downtown San Diego. Have you ever thought about SeaWorld or Mission Beach or La Jolla, California? Do you know the Prayer Mountain is centrally located? Do you know that you can come up, spend a couple days at the Prayer Mountain, praying and fasting, and then say, you know what, Pastor, can we stay a couple more days at the Prayer Mountain and go down to visit the beach and then go visit La Jolla? And yes, absolutely. Call, make your reservation today. It's so awesome. I just absolutely am excited all that God is doing. This last week, we had a group of people from Eritrea. And there were about, I think, 26, I can't remember, the week before that, there was almost 40. And, oh my goodness, just to hear the prayers. When you hear the prayers go up to God from that prayer mountain, oh my goodness, I can't believe what it does to your heart. In fact, if you go to my Facebook, look for Dr. Luana Steins, S-T-I-N-E-S, on my Facebook, or Touch From Above Prayer Mountain. And I have videos I put up there of the people that come to pray. Oh my goodness. When you hear the cries and the prayer and the wonderful people throughout that prayer mountain. The other day I was giving somebody a tour of the prayer mountain, and I'm taking them in my little golf cart, my little work golf cart, and I'm driving around saying, this is the way to the cross and blah, 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 blah. And I look and there's somebody on one of the trail. There's somebody sitting on the bench. It's 25 acres. So I drive up and it's like, oops, I didn't see her there. And then I drive around. There's somebody else and somebody else comes out from a trail. Somebody else comes from by the cross and somebody else is in another bench. And then I get up to the top part and there's people sitting right up there at the cross. It's like, oh, my goodness. I can just imagine. You know, when I think about the prayer at the prayer mountain, this is what I think about. Abraham prayed and Moses prayed and they made a sacrifice to the Lord. And so when they would put that animal on the altar, that the Bible says the smoke went up into heaven, the aroma and the smoke went up into heaven and got God's attention. Well, I think about that with the prayers. I think about all the people that are praying and they're crying out for God. And I think about that whole mountain is like, it's like the aroma, the smoke and the prayers that are going up before God. And I think, wow, the heavens are open and God is hearing the cries of his people. Wow. I had to back away. I didn't want to say wow real loud in the mic. God is so awesome. Anyway, this is Sermon Finish Well Part 5. And if you haven't heard 1, 2, 3, and 4, you need to go to our website, touchfromabove.org, and it will be uploaded on the website. And you want to do that so you can listen to those. I'm telling you, God is so good. It's easy to start well. It is. But you got to finish well. You know, I think about how every single person is challenged to finish well. When I read the Word of God, you know, some fall because of stupid reasons. I think about Solomon. Solomon started off well. But you know what? A woman ended up destroying his entire ministry. You know, when I think about Asa, you know, when you think about Asa, oh my gosh, you think, wow, King Asa. Well, in 2 Chronicles, if we read 2 Chronicles 14, it says, so Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In the days the land was quiet for 10 years, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars from the foreign gods, of the foreign gods, and the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to observe the law and the commandments. And he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And Asa built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord gave him rest. You see, it's easy to start off well, but if you read on a little bit in about Asa's life, you know, the Bible says, and Asa removed the altars, the foreign gods, the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images. But you know what it says a little bit later? And it's so sad. In 1 Kings chapter 15, reading in verse 10, it talks about, and Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father did. But guess what happened later? Asa got mad. And Asa was so angry a little bit later. Asa ended up, he cursed his own life. God was angry. He chastised Asa for relying on Abinadab instead of God. Rather than Asa repenting of his sin, Asa became so angry. And at that time, he began to oppress some of his people. And you can read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It's so sad. Oh my goodness. You can read that in where's that at? Oh my goodness. What happened to Asa? Let me read to you. I'm trying to find exactly which part I want to read to you. You see, Asa ended up getting so angry, he began to oppress his people, and God said, no, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. And he goes, and then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Do you understand? The seer was trying to come to him. Let me back up a little bit in verse 9. I'm reading out of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, reading in verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Now this is the seer. This is the prophetic word. This is somebody that's coming that is righteous trying to tell you, listen, you got to repent. You've been out of line. You got to get this right. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet his disease did not In his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he went after the physicians. You see, Asa ended up dying. You see, you can start well, but you got to finish. You got to finish well. You know, when I think about Jesus, 30 and 3 years, and then he had 3 years to do his ministry. Jesus walked into the temple in Luke chapter 4. He said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This day it is fulfilled. Bam. He gave the children of Israel the mandate. Okay, this is where my ministry begins. And Jesus left that place, the temple, and immediately he went out and gathered his disciples, started his ministry, laid hands on the sick, opened up blind eyes, made the dead to rise. He did all that he needed to do. And coming to the end of 3 years, he's already gathered his disciples. He's already trained them. And then now he's sitting down with them, and he's getting ready to have that last supper. And he tells them, he said, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, he's saying, and he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Do you know what Jesus is saying in that portion of scripture? My time is at hand. I'm going to now go to the cross. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed him, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12, and as they were eating, Jesus said, surely I say to you, one of you will betray me. You see, Judas is sitting right at that table. Judas did not finish well. You've got to finish well. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say, Lord, Jesus, is it I? And Jesus answered and said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. Do you understand what Judas was doing? Judas was getting ready to dip his hand in the dish. He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Wow. What a heavy-duty statement. Do you understand what Jesus said? It would have been better if Judas Iscariot had not been born. Do you know in another portion of Scripture, oh my goodness, where is it, Holy Spirit? There's another portion of Scripture in the New Testament that says, it is better for him to have not known the truth than to know the truth and have forsaken it is like a dog that goes back and eats its vomit. I don't know about you, but that's heavy duty. You see, you don't want to be one of those that start off really well. And, oh, here it is. 2 Peter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2. He's talking to the believer. So don't tell me once you're saved. Well, I'm saved. You ain't telling me. I got an eternal seal. No. Your sin separates you from God. You keep messing around, doing what's wrong, and don't think you're going to go to heaven living like the devil's hell. The Bible says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of their flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after, are you ready? Listen to this. After they have escaped, that means been born again, the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would be better, are you ready? It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow, the little piggy, having washed to her wallowing in the mire, went back to the mud, the pit. Jesus said the same thing for Judas. It would have been good if that man, if he had not even been born. Do you understand the consequences? Then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And Jesus said to Judas, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Do you understand what he's saying? Jesus is saying, "I am just about ready to finish my race." And then what does he do? He warns them ahead of time. He warns the disciples. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." You see, that was a test. This is a test. You have to understand, when you're going through a hard time and things are shaken up, don't fall apart. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Oh, Peter, 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 shut up." Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Well, Peter denied Christ three times, and we don't want to go there, but listen. Jesus then went into that garden, and he is praying, and he is crying out. And you know what? He goes back, and he tells his disciples, he says, "You know what? We're going to go to the garden and pray." He goes, "Sit here while I go pray." And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And Jesus went a little bit further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will." Do you understand what he's saying? "Lord, I want to finish this race well. You sent me for a purpose. Let me finish the race." Then Jesus came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping on the job? Are you not praying? Are you kind of taking for granted what God has done? Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Peter, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray, Peter, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, Jesus went away to pray and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink of it, your will be done. Let me finish your race." You see, Jesus had a race to finish. And he came and found them, the disciples, sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. So Jesus left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping?" Do you understand? We're living in the last days, folks. We cannot be sleeping. We've got to finish this race, and we got to finish the work at hand. We've got to reach the multitudes. The cross is for the lost. If we do not complete our race, if we do not complete what God has called us to do, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe, committed his life unto him, would not perish but have everlasting life." We have a job to do. "Behold, this hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Then Judas stepped into that garden, kissed Jesus, the kiss of betrayal. I don't know if you've had friends that you thought loved you and were faithful and loyal. Pastors, I love you. But you know what? You're going to have those people that are going to kiss you on one side, give you a hug, say, "I love you," and the next minute they're going to betray you. And it's like, "Ow, can you take the knife out of my back? Ouch." Well, I hate to tell you, welcome to the ministry. I've been saved for 43 years. I've had people that we've helped to no end turn right around and speak evil against you, talk bad about you, create lies that aren't even true. And all of a sudden, you're just kind of going, "What?" Suddenly, you're looking at Judas. It's like, "My goodness, is your name Judas? What's your name, Judas Jr.? You know, what are you doing betraying? And you know what? Don't betray me with a kiss." You know, but that's what they did to Jesus. But you know what Jesus did? He continued on and he went to that cross willfully. He laid down his life. Why did he lay down his life? To disarm the enemy so that you and I can have a place to have eternity. And they struck him and they took the reed. They hit him in the head. They mocked Jesus. They took the robe off of him. They, you know, they put him down to be crucified on a terrible, terrible cross. They put a sign above him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Why? They did it out of mockery. They stripped him of his scarlet robe. Oh my goodness, do you understand what they did to him? But let me tell you, when Jesus was on that cross, and it was about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is running past the finish line. He's almost there. Then some who stood by there heard that and said, this man is calling Elijah. No. And then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and he yielded up his spirit. He passed the finish line. Oh my goodness. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shaked and the rocks were split and the graves were open. Do you understand? Jesus died to set the captives free, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep or had died before, they were raised up and coming up out of the graves. Oh, the power of the resurrection. Oh, of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Do you understand? When he died on that cross, when he said, it is finished, he said, Satan, get your hands off of the people. It is done. It is finished. And I'm telling you what, his resurrection, they went up into the holy city and appeared to many. And oh, I'm telling you, when the centurions came and the soldiers came, they were all shocked. But I want you to know, oh my goodness, 3 days later, oh my goodness, he said, in 3 days, I'm coming back alive. I'm telling you what, 3 days later, that grave, that rock rolled away. And 3 days later, guess what? Jesus walked out of that grave, folded his own garment there, boom, laid it on the side and walked out of that old tomb. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And then he went, and guess what? Mary Magdalene, can you imagine Mary, who had been delivered of 7 demons? Here is Mary Magdalene running, and Mary came to the tomb, and they're there. Where have you laid my Jesus? Where's my Jesus? They're so heartbroken. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And he sees the brokenness of Mary Magdalene's heart. You see, Mary Magdalene was a great disciple. She followed him everywhere he went. She served him with all her heart. And the angel answered and said to Mary, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, Jesus is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Oh, can I tell you? And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met with Mary, saying, rejoice. And they came, and they held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You see, you've got to finish well. Jesus finished his race. He went to that cross and rose again on the third day. You and I have to finish well. Oh my goodness, when do you finish this race? When you breathe your last breath, it is finished, and you step onto that other side. And when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he gives you a robe of righteousness and places a crown on your head, I'm telling you what, listen, we don't die, we live forever, but live for eternity. Live with eternity stamped on your heart. Live for Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. Some of you have fallen away. Tell God you're sorry right now. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry I got off course. Oh, and get back on the course. Run, run, run for Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. Amen? Amen. I want to thank you so much for listening to my program. I'm Dr. Luana, and this is A Touch from Above, right out of Ramona, California. God richly bless you. I want to tell you something really quick. You know what? I need your support. I'm a woman preacher on radio, guys. Listen, ladies, support this ministry. Listen, gentlemen, support this ministry. You know I'm preaching the truth. How can you give? Log on to our website, atouchfromabove.org. Give right online, right there under donation or gift. Give a monthly gift. Please pray. Please consider that. Or purchase one of my books. Amen? That helps us. God bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Stein's. Give online at atouchfromabove.org.
A Touch from Above would like to invite you to our conference in May. When your heart is hit, don't quit. May 23rd, 24th, 25th. The cost is $225. For $225, you'll receive lodging for two nights and meals for the entire conference. The Word of God says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Dr. Luana will be speaking throughout the whole weekend. She will share her experience in ministry. Through much heartache, she never quit. Are you weary and need encouragement, direction? Come and join us May 23rd, 24th, 25th. There's limited space and limited cabins, so you need to call and sign up as soon as possible. 760-315-1967. 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. God bless you.
A Mother's Story, a compelling book by Dr. Luana Steins, tells her heart-gripping story of how God can rescue even the least likely in the deepest trial and bring about His plan for her life. A single mother with a murdered husband who battled cancer and overcame impossible odds. Only God could perform such a rescue and bring about His plan for her life, and He can do it for you. This story by Dr. Luana Steins will inspire you and give you hope. Get your copy today for only $19.95 online at atouchfromabove.org or by calling 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967, A Mother's Story.
A Touch from Above Prayer Mountain is located in Ramona, California. Dr. Luana dedicated 25 beautiful acres for God's people to pray. Through much prayer, her life was changed. God placed His calling on her life through prayer. God's people from all over the world come and pray at this place. The best thing about our prayer mountain is God's presence is there. Do you need direction? Pray. Do you need help? Pray. Prayer will change your life. atouchfromabove.org is our website. atouchfromabove.org. Small cabins for private prayer, large cabins to accommodate pastors with their leaders. A Touch from Above Prayer Mountain is for you. Call and make your reservation today, 760-315-1967. Again, 760-315-1967. God bless you.
If anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation.
Are you a woman called of God? Have you been told over and over women can't preach? Are you confused about the scripture in Timothy? You know you are called, but don't know how to step into your ministry. Order Dr. Luana's book, A Woman Called of God. She brings clear understanding of the scriptures and why women can preach. You will read how Satan tried to stop her, to keep her from stepping into her calling. Dr. Luana is called to train and equip thousands of women to step into their full-time ministry, to fulfill their call as a woman called of God. You can order her book today, A Woman Called of God. Go to our website, atouchfromabove.org, or call 760-315-1967. We are so grateful for you listening, and we thank God for your support. May God richly bless you.